Well, as Nathan said, if you were in the first service, it's just like this service is just like an extension, like the second half, as it were, of the morning, because David opened us up this morning in the communion service with Abraham, God the provider, with the ram that was provided for Abraham when he was asked to sacrifice his son. A tough time for Abraham. He'd had waited years and years for this son to arrive and thought he was past the time, and then God had blessed them as he had promised with his son Isaac, and then God goes and tells him to go and kill him. And you could sympathize with Abraham to say, well, no, I'm not going to do that, God. You know, I've waited a long time for this. You know, I don't understand. You're not a God who's into killing children. You're not into that sort of thing like the nations around. But he didn't, did he? Just faithfully went up the mountain, and even in his statement to the men he left behind, he said, when we return. He was, you know, confident in God that his son would be spared. But he did what God asked him to do. And when God saw his faith and his trust, he stepped in, didn't he, and said, no, take the ram that's caught in the bush and sacrifice that instead. And really, this morning is an extension in our service of that sort of faith and trust in God when we're going through difficult times, or when God asks us to do difficult things or puts us in difficult situations when we don't know quite what's going on, or when, you know, we know God has, you know, sort of put us on a path to somewhere, but then something happens that seems to stand in that way and we're not quite sure what's going on. And Dave also said in that service this morning that songs sometimes say so much more than we can actually say. And I feel, standing up there this morning, that the scripture and songs that we have sung have really said everything that we need to know this morning. We just need to take what we sung. And if we put that into practice, we don't need to say any more this morning, really, because that has said it all. And Jewel opened up, didn't she, with that verse from Psalm 46, verse 10, to be still. Be still and know that I am God. Just trust in me. Complete trust in God. It's so hard to do, isn't it? When, as Dave was also saying in the service, you know, we can think of other ways perhaps that we could get round it ourselves, or to deal with the situation, or we think we know better than God and we go off on a tangent and we try and take things into our own hands instead of just being still and waiting for God to reveal what's going on. And Jill invited us this morning, didn't she, to come and just lay everything at the foot of the cross. And that's what we need so desperately to learn to do every day that we wake up, don't we? We just need to lay everything at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, you have done it all. You have overcome. You are the one in whom no sin is found, as we sang. And there is no work that is too hard for you to deal with. Whatever I face today, Lord, I know that with you I can go through it and get through it. And with that in mind, I just want us to read our scripture this morning from Genesis chapter 39. And we're into the second part of the story of Joseph this morning. Martin opened it up a couple of weeks ago with Joseph the son. And now we come to Joseph the slave. And it says in chapter 39, verse 1, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And when his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything that he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household, of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was upon everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. Now then, could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by the cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and run out of the house, she called her household servants, saying, "Look, this Hebrew who has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. And then she told him this story. "The Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." And when his master heard the story his wife had told him, he said, "This is how my slave has treated me." He burned with anger. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him and showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warder. So the warder put Joseph in charge of those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that he had done there, all that was done there. And the warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Wow, such a roller coaster, isn't it, Joseph's life? It's a wonderful, wonderful story of living out, if you like, the plans and purposes of God. But it wasn't easy, was it? It was like down one minute, up the next. It didn't seem to be, much in between. It was either up or down with Joseph. And very difficult times through this chapter that Joseph went through. A couple of days ago, Sandra and I were driving along and we had Jeremy Vine's show on. And they were talking about preppers. Do you know what a prepper is? Did anyone else hear that? It's people who prepare for disaster. Now, we know that governments do that, don't they? If you go, like, up to Westminster, along Whitehall there, there's the underground where they, used to have the meetings underground during the war. It was all prepared before the war in case something happened. And we had nuclear bunkers, haven't we? And we've had all sorts of things prepared by government. But there are actual individuals who are called preppers. And they have a stockpile of food and water. Some of them have bunkers in their garden in case of nuclear attack or terrorist attack or in case of a natural disaster. They call themselves preppers. They're prepared for disaster. Some of them sound a little bit sort of wacky and eccentric, but nonetheless, they are prepared. And I wanted to ask us this morning, ourselves, are we preppers? And as we were listening to this program, Sandra said to me, we're preppers, in a way. As Christians, we're preppers because we're prepared and ready for heaven. We're prepared and ready for eternal life. But that's not through anything that we've done, is it? It's through everything that Jesus Christ has done. He has prepared the ground. He has made it possible for us to be prepared to live in his kingdom forever. Praise his name. And so in a sense, we're all preppers when we trust in Jesus Christ. But this morning, our story is about a prepper. It's about someone who was being prepared for greater things to come. And even being prepared to deal with the good times as well as the bad. Joseph was going through these tremendous highs and lows with God as he was like number one son in the family, and all the brothers were jealous of him, but he was in a comfortable position, favoured by his father. Seemingly nothing could touch him and his future was rosy. And then all of a sudden he's put in a pit by the jealousy of his brothers who wanted to kill him, but instead sold him to the Ishmaelite slaves. And so he goes from that place into the pit, and then he goes down into Egypt as an alien. in a place that is strange, as a 17-year-old boy, as a teenager, having to face all this. And it helps us to understand a little bit, you know, about what some of these refugees are facing right now across Europe as they come out of a war-torn country and they're coming to a new land with not knowing their future, being in a strange land, not knowing what the future holds for them. And Joseph was in that sort of situation. And then he comes, he's sold into Potiphar's household. And because he lives out a life of godliness and righteousness, his master sees the benefit of putting him in charge of his household. And it says the Lord was with Joseph and blessed him in everything that he did. And that was the key, wasn't it, to Joseph's life? That there was an awareness, it seems, although he never says it himself, there seems to be awareness in Joseph's life that God is preparing him for something bigger and greater to come. So he must just ride with it. He must just go up and down with the way God is planning out his life until he comes to the point where the purposes and plans of God are fulfilled in his life. And so his life is turned upside down. This preening, almost arrogant teenager, boasting to his brothers about the dreams, is now a slave in Egypt, perhaps fearful and worried and not understanding totally what the future holds for him. But the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him. And you couldn't blame Joseph in these circumstances, and perhaps some of us would have done, and perhaps we have done in the past when we've gone through difficult times. We might say, well, if that's what it's like to have the Lord with you, then you can keep it, thanks. It doesn't seem to be working out too good right now. And maybe that's how you felt when you first become a Christian. You know, you've been through troubled times. Some of us came into Christianity perhaps through times of difficulty and we found the Lord and we thought, great, we found the Lord. We've got the power of the Lord in our life. His Holy Spirit is going to live in our life. And then it seems almost like life got harder when we became a Christian than when it was before. And that's how it is sometimes in the Christian life, isn't it? It's hard. Jesus warned us about that. He said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to be persecuted. If you follow me, you're going to go through hard times. Jesus didn't pull the wool over our eyes. He made us realize before we took that step of what we might go through. And we couldn't blame Joseph here if he said, well, you know, I've had enough. Especially after Potiphar's wife then accuses him wrongly of doing something he'd never done. And then he ends back up in prison down in Egypt, probably worse than off than he was before. He could have quite easily just thrown the towel in at that point and said, I've had enough, I don't want to do this anymore. But of course, we, reading this story, have the beauty of hindsight, don't we? We know the end from the beginning. So it's easy for us to see how God was working out in his life. But Joseph didn't have that, did he? He was living every day, not knowing, you know, what the Lord was going to do next in his life. Day by day, he just had to roll with it, what God was doing. So he didn't complain, and he didn't rebel against God. And we get a sense that Joseph thought, never get a sense here that Joseph thought he was being unfairly treated, but he just gets on with his life. And although he can't see the end from the beginning like we can, he trusts in God and seems to be aware that God is doing something in his life. Do you have that awareness in your life? Do I have that awareness in my life? Am I aware every day of the presence of God in my life? Do I set out at the beginning of the day knowing that God is with me? And whether I go through the bad or the good today, blessing will come out of it for the name of the Lord. James talks about this, doesn't he? He talks about rejoicing when we go through trials of every kind. It almost seems an anomaly, doesn't it? How can we rejoice when we're going through trials and testing and difficulty? But it's all about perspective, isn't it? It's how we look at the problem. As Christians, we should never be defeated by the things that come at us at life, because we have someone who is bigger and greater and who has overcome, and nothing can come against him in Jesus. We see this in Jesus himself, don't we? We see this in Jesus himself. It says in Hebrews 12, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We sang in one of our songs, stand up, everybody, stand up. Come on, lift your eyes up. See the King. And as we go out this week, let's ride with it like Joseph did. Let's get up in the morning and say, God, what have you got for me today? Let's lift our eyes up and see the King. Let's do what Jill has invited us to do this morning. Let's come to the foot of the cross and see Jesus riding with the will of God for the sake and the joy of seeing you and me coming into the kingdom of God. Jesus went through all those things in his life, starting off with the temptations, with the opposition, with the misunderstanding, with the false accusations, with the scourging, with the whipping, with the crown of thorns, with those nails put through his hands and feet on the cross. He had every sin that you and I have ever done and will ever do rammed into his body for the joy of seeing you and me come into the kingdom of God. That is what Jesus has done for each one of us. And that's what we see when we come to the cross. We don't see defeat. We see victory. We see Jesus lifted up and laughing at Satan, and Satan saying, and saying to Satan, you cannot touch me. I have overcome. And everybody who stands with me has overcome. And you can't touch them either. Whatever you put them through, eventually you cannot have them because they are mine. They are in my hands. They are covered with my blood. Let's go out as people this week, as people covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. People who cannot be defeated because we're on the victory side. Let's remind ourselves of what it says in Ephesians 2, that we're God's handiwork. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Joseph had to live in the moment. He couldn't see what the next day would bring, nor can we. But God had prepared and was preparing him for what was to come. He was God's handiwork. And he was chiseling away at Joseph through the good things, learning how to plan, how to organize, how to run a household. And later he would run Egypt. He was learning through the tough times to trust in God, to completely trust in him, because he had no choice. Life was out of control. He couldn't get out of that prison. He couldn't get out of that pit. He couldn't run away as a slave. He had to trust in God. And there are times in our life when we feel out of control. But believe me, everything is in control. The Lord is with us, as he was with Joseph. I will never leave you or forsake you, Jesus says. Even sometimes when we cry out and there seems to be no answer, be still and know that I am God. Just wait on the Lord. It really brings us back to a few months ago when we were in Philippians chapter 1. And we talked about similar things of this. And Paul said to us, didn't he, in Philippians chapter 1, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God has started something in your life that cannot be stopped, whatever comes against you, until Jesus says so, until he calls you home. There's a work to be completed. There's a work to be done in each of our lives, and that will not be stopped until the day of Jesus Christ, until he comes or he calls us home. So let's go out with confidence. Let's go out with complete trust. Let's wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I know that you are with me and nothing can stand against me unless you say so. We need to have that confidence in God. And we need to go out looking for opportunity, like Joseph did here, to witness to those around us. It's just amazing that he just lives out his life. He just runs a good household. And Potiphar, who, as far as we know, had no idea of the God of Israel or the God of Joseph and Jacob, but saw it in Joseph and saw that his God was blessing him. And as a result of Joseph being blessed, his household was being blessed. Let's not forget that. When we live out a life for God, when we live within his plans and purposes, we will be blessed. But also those around us will be blessed as well. I think sometimes we underestimate just what a blessing you can be to other people around you, just by living out the things that God has asked us to do. We don't always have to go shouting and talking and preaching. We just have to live the life that God has asked us to live. It's not always easy, is it? We were talking about this the other day with Grant and Sue Smith in Kenya. You know, how as a Christian organisation, they're working in quite a corrupt environment, where everything has to be a backhander. To get anyone to do anything, you have to give a bribe. And so far, they've managed to stay away from that. But it's difficult, isn't it? And it's difficult for us sometimes to live in a worldly environment as a Christian and live out a godly, righteous life. But if we stick to our guns, and it will bring opposition, and it will bring persecution, but God will bless you, and he will bless those around. And as I said a few months ago when we were looking at Philippians 1, during the summer, we went to see that production of Joseph down at the tent. And it was a fairly good portrayal of Joseph. But there's one of two points in that, I guess because it was written by someone who wasn't a Christian, where they've totally missed the point of that story, of this story of Joseph. And one of the lines of the songs there is when Joseph becomes Pharaoh's second in command. It says in the song, anyone from anywhere can make it with a lucky break. But as we read this story, we can see just how untrue that is. We can see that Joseph got to where he got to because God said he was going to get there. And he'd planned it. And the purposes of God were being worked out in his life. And so, let us take this morning the lessons of what Joseph was going through here. There's so much more we could expand in this story, but time has gone. Let's ride with it like Joseph rode with it. It's tough. It's difficult. Sometimes we'll be down in the pit. Sometimes we'll be in the prison. Sometimes life will be jogging along. Sometimes we'll have the highs when we really feel that God is blessing us and we feel 10 foot tall and God has done something in our life and we just want to praise him. But let's be blessing the Lord when we're down in the pit as well as when we're up on the high mountain. We sang that song, don't we, where we just sang it. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. So true, isn't it? We can praise God when we're feeling good. When things are going well, we've got money in the bank, we're going on holiday booked, we've got all this, that and the other, we've got a nice car, a nice house. What if the Lord took all that away? Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road that is marked with suffering. Though it was pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Can we do that? Can we rejoice in our trials? Can we lift our eyes up and see the King when we're down in the pit, when we're in the prison? Are we going to bring ourselves to the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, you did it for me, I'm now going to do it for you? Let's give it a go. Let's have confidence in God as we go out this week. Let's see that the Lord is with us and he will bless us in everything that we do in his name. May God help us. Amen.